enjoy another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Dragnest, Bill Pratt. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight, and we are so excited because tonight we feature Bakersfield March Meet Nostalgia Top Fuel winner, the Nitro Kitty herself, Mendy Fry. I'll ask some racing questions, John will ask rocking questions, and you can join our live chat during the show. Go to racersreunion.com and look for the right-hand side. But without further ado, Mendy Fry, welcome back to the program.
Oh, my God, it's so great to be back, and especially with that intro. I never, you know, thought that my name would be the end of it, or at least I had hoped it would be, but, like, it is now, so it's so cool.
That's right. It's you, man. We got the Nitro Kitty yourself, and, you know, we were looking at the social media today. The place was on fire, people sending emails and asking if they could call in, and you know, we used to do that when we had a two-hour show, but we kind of keep it a little narrow now because we want to hear from the champ.
Short and sweet, right? That's what's interesting anyway. Keep it pithy.
That's right. And just like your quarter-mile passes. But let's talk. We mentioned the champ. Let's talk about that. The Bakersfield March Meet Nostalgia Top Fuel Tour. Let's just say Top Fuel winner. For 2017, Mendy Fry joining what? Garlitz and all the other guys, you know, Shirley and everybody down the road. You won it all this year. Tell us about that day.
I still can't believe that it's happened. You know, it was surreal, and especially because it rained out. So it happened on Monday in front of, like, you know, 20 people. So it went from 20,000 people on Saturday to like 20 people on Monday.
Right.
But, it didn't matter to me, man. I at the top end, you know, it was all about the business of getting the car stopped and started to get out. And then I just stopped and just, like, I burst into tears in the car. Like, I couldn't believe it. And when my team got to me, you know, Tom Shelar and everybody on High Speed Motorsports team, like, they wanted it as much for me as, like, I wanted it for them. They've never really done very well at the March Meet either, and, you know, it just fell into place for us this year. I mean, and it's our first race together with me on this team, back on this team anyway, and
right.
It's just unbelievable.
Well, it's so, so cool. You know, we all followed the press releases as the season was coming in. We were really excited to see you get the spot, and you certainly made good use of the opportunity. How did you get back together with the High Speed Motorsports folks?
Well, you know, Tom Shelar, the owner of that team, gave me a call in January, and they were looking to, you know, make a change and ask me if I'd be interested. And it's like, are you kidding? You know, it's everything that I wanted and hoped for and been trying for. You know, I feel like I started racing 32 years ago, drag racing anyway, you know, and started driving in Top Fuel in 2004 for this team.
Right.
They're the ones that gave me my shot. And I can't say enough about how grateful I am for the opportunity.
Well, it's so cool. It's like a match made in heaven. You know, absolutely. And, you know, going back,
well, yeah, I mean,
going,
you know, the hardest part is the people part, right? And I mean, I've driven for a lot of teams since 2004, and it fell right back into groove. You know, there's no one to really learn because we already know each other, and it was like literally like coming home.
Right. Oh, it is. That's so, so cool. And, you know, so let's walk back through a very, very brief history of Mendy Fry Racing. You started in our Roadster, went to an Alky Dragster, by the way, the world's quickest and fastest at the time, did Junior Fuel, then did Fuel Funny Cars a couple of years ago, did very well in the Smokey's Dark Side car, but back in a front-engine Top Fuel Dragster, And I guess, you know, if I had to pick it, are you back home? Is that what you feel like?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm a dragster girl anyway, you know. Funny cars are a kick in the pants, don't get me wrong. You know, but I really enjoy front engine top fuel the most. I don't know what it is about it. It's challenging to drive. I think more challenging than funny cars are to drive. And so you really get a sense of accomplishment when, you know, you tell that car to do something and you get it down there based on your input as opposed to just being along for the ride. When you really have to make some decisions and get out of what could be a lost run, you feel pretty accomplished at the end of it. I think that's why I like them the most.
Right. So tell us, I mean, if you can communicate the sense of the feather touch of those cars. I mean, it seems like, you know, with all that, with that motorway back there and you're sitting way behind the axle, it seems like the front wheels just have to be the lightest touch to keep those things moving under all that power.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest part is just staying ahead of the car from the hit of the throttle. You know, you wouldn't believe that you have to be correcting, you know, as soon as you hit the gas, but you do. You know, because once you get out of the groove, it's done. You know, so very little margin for error there.
Right, man. Oh, man. Well, you know, it's, you know, and you went through a terrific field, and you know, as always, Bakerfield's never easy. But in the final, up against our old friend, funny car fueler veteran Jim Holy Smokes Murphy, it was the battle of the nicknames. And it was hard not, you know, hard to come away from that
right.
Final not liking whoever won. But you put old Jim out. So what was it like at the end of that race? I assume you guys are pretty, you know, pretty friendly. And it's not like tooth and nail and dagger and, you know.
Oh, no. I mean, I've known Jim. I mean, I went to high school with Jim's daughter, you know. So, I mean, I've known Jim pretty much all my life. And in fact, I didn't even see him because they shredded the blower belt on the burnout. So we had a single, you know, going into that round. And the big decision point was Tom and I had never discussed what we're going to do if it was a single, like if I was going to leg it out or not. So they're like, you know, everyone's giving me the thumbs up that you know, I'm going in, that we basically had won. All we have to do is activate the tree, right?
Right.
And so I'm asking Tom, am I going to the end or what? And he just looks at me and he points to the end. And I'm like, okay, he sent me, you know what I mean? And we ran another 559,
wow.
Backing up the 559 that we ran in the first round, and 252 miles an hour. You know, and it probably would have been a quicker run because I kind of screwed up a little bit on the starting line and rolled the lights a tiny bit. So, like, it probably would have been a, you know, 555, you know, so.
Wow.
But still, we had a car to beat, right? Like,
yeah.
Even though we were handed the round, it would have been a tall order beating us, too. So.
Right, absolutely.
And
let's talk
pretty
about
cool,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, you are driving a 550 fueler, or you were driving, you know, with your skill, that's 550s. I mean, that's winning any event you go to stuff right there. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, as long as the, you know, the driver doesn't screw up, we should do pretty well.
So, looking at some of the early season stories when you got together with the High Speed Motorsports guy, you say basically you're going after Tony Bartone's championship streak. You're trying to end that thing. Bartone, the boy from New York, has been tearing it up last couple of years, and you're after him. Well, you got the first leg of that thing done. So what do you think's coming next?
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't, you know, for that goal, right, it couldn't be better situated. He went out first round, and we won the event. So we just need to do more of that during the season.
Right.
You know, this team has, I think, won every single time that they've entered the race at Bowling Green, Kentucky. If not all of them, you know, they maybe have let one of them go, but I think that for the most part, they own that event, right? Very comfortable at that track. And so that's where we're going next. And I think that we're going to have game for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to see you for that one. I couldn't quite make Bakersfield this year, but Bowling Green's a heck of a lot closer, and I was there last summer, so that
it's
would be
closer
awesome.
For you. It's not so close for us, but
no.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the only reason you come. Of course, you can try to win the event while you're there, but I'll be there. That's the important thing.
Yeah, whatever, right? I'm just really going there to see you.
So tell us about, a lot of wacky stuff on the roads early in the season, but based on what you've experienced thus far, and one of them might be a pretty easy answer, but what was your most fun, most miserable, and the craziest time so far this year? But and if you want to cheat, you can go back a year or two.
Yeah, so far this year, right, we've only got one race. I mean, I would say the miserable parts were waiting for it to stop raining so that we could actually test and get me some laps in the car. I mean, I really haven't driven that much over the past few years. I mean, we had a very limited schedule in Smokey's Dark Side, and so I was really eager and or anxious, you know, to get comfortable in that car. And, we had a pretty big mishap in testing in that we sheared an input shaft and basically exploded the clutch inside the car with me. That was pretty nuts. And so want to do less of that. You know, it's really kind of a fluke. Like, that kind of thing, you only see that in the big show, you know. So,
right.
So that was interesting. And, going back... So what are we saying? We're running crazy things that have happened?
Yeah, I got some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the characters you hang out with. I know you got some stories, which depends on whether we can share them.
Well, talking about, like, road stories, right, the most interesting ones really aren't fit for polite conversations. but I've got one from when I was a kid, actually. I was, 16 years old, and we were coming home from Fremont, and we had, and that was when my dad obviously was alive, we had rigged up some drinking straws into bottle rocket launchers and proceeded to have bottle rocket wars with other racer friends while we were going over the Bay Bridge. We didn't get caught, but, you know, we got one inside the window of another guy, and it blew up in the front of their car. It was pretty hilarious.
Oh, my God. You get extra points for that, of course, right?
Yeah, that one wasn't mine. I think it was, I don't know if it was my dad's. He was launching bottle rockets and driving, which was pretty cool.
Well, you know, it's a skill. You need a certain skill, right, to get down the track.
Well, such good times, yeah.
Well, while we got you on, you want to offer any shout-outs to some of the folks who helped you put you in the winner's circle or helped you get to the winner's circle? You put yourself there with a lot of guys behind you.
Oh, my God. My team is the most hardworking team, most professional. You know, from the minute that I showed up, you know, there are checklists, which, believe it or not, people don't do, and so things invariably get missed, and so right. They kind of sheepishly said, well, you know, we like to have checklists, and I'm like, bring it, like, I should have a checklist too, you know, and
right.
So, you know, Tom and Rick Shelar and Walt Stevens and Sean Bellemere and everyone on the team, I mean, just worked their butts off. Like, we were at the track, or they were at the track until like 2 a.m. getting repairs done from that clutch explosion. I mean, I left at like 1:15, and they were there another 45 minutes so that we could actually get this thing in the show, dead last qualified, you know, qualified number 8, and not really their fault, you know. One of those rounds was we didn't improve because, you know, I made a driving error, and you know, luck was in our lane all weekend after that, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can't say enough about them, and just happy that they picked me, you know.
It's really, really cool. But, you know, what about the young ladies? Did you know, I know at the big show, there's always a the thing now is for the young ladies to come up and check out their heroes, because there's plenty of them to cheer for there. But how is that kind of equivalent on the nostalgia side? Do the young fans show up and say, hey, let's I want to be like Mendy one of these days?
Yeah, it's really cool, actually. You know, I mean, I'm very hungry for the day where being a female drag racer isn't, you know, an anomaly. I mean, I'm just a racer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the people that I race against, like, that's what they think of me as well. I mean, most of them have known me almost my entire life. And you know that I grew up in a race shop and all that. But it's still not lost on me the fact that that there are kids that are in gender, you know, like it is different, right? Like when a little girl sees that me, a woman, is in a race car that only guys are competing in, I think it is impactful, you know. And definitely lots of little kids came by, you know, boys and girls, mm-hmm. and just let them know, I mean, if you work hard and you just stick with it and you never give up, like, it can happen. You know what I mean? It can happen. It's not easy, but it can happen. And that's a really great feeling when, they get it. You know what I mean? You can see right. in their eyes that they get it. And it's pretty neat.
That is really cool. And, you know, not for nothing, the little boys getting that lesson is probably more important than the little girls seeing it. You know, we gotta raise them both.
Well, yeah, and, you know, must save sport, right? Like, I mean, we have to, kids have to be interested in it or else, like, because we'll just die out. So get the kids interested early and get that needle in the arm as soon as possible, you know? It really kept me out of trouble growing up because it's the only thing that I wanted to do and it was going to get taken away from me if I screwed up. Right. So something has to be at stake, I think, for kids to make it through these days. And, you know, if not this, something. But this is a really good one.
Well, you know, you're living proof. We saw you. Saw you do tons and tons of stuff for decades now. We can say decades because we're all old friends. But very cool.
We can. It's now past three decades. It's in its fourth decade. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, good girl. I got HTML pages about you. That shows how long we go back. It's ridiculous.
I know. The original drag list.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, so we picked your brain about your racing, which was very cool, but I'm going to turn you over to John and hear a little bit about your rockin' side. So, John, take it away.
Well, thanks, BP. Mindy, we'd like to know what your favorite kind of music is.
You know, I like a lot of stuff. You know, I like a lot of early, like, 80s new wave, and also kind of like 70s punk rock. I like some glam stuff. I like some chick rock, alternative. You know, I'm not a huge fan of rap or hip-hop. You know, but definitely, and some country. But yeah, that's really live. You want bands or what?
Well, when I was watching the live feed on Competition Plus, and I saw you win that event, I was thinking alternative rock when I was watching you. It just had that certain sound to it. The sound of your engine combined with a good Pearl Jam tune. Couldn't be beat.
Yeah, I was.
Have you been?
You know, definitely a fan of that in that time. You know, that and Nirvana. I definitely was riding that kind of grunge alternative rock wave.
Oh yeah, we all love Nirvana here to this day. That was such a great band, and it came to a tragic end and everything. But that's, you know, he was like the James Dean of rock and roll. It worked out that way for him. But no, that's I'd rather hear alternative rock than anything else that was being done back then, although I don't condemn any of the other sounds. Have you been to a concert lately that you'd like to tell us about?
I went to a Kraftwerk concert recently, and that was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. They're so great. I mean, we went to the Hollywood Bowl, and so I've seen them three times now, and they're just incredible. Like, you would think that, like, it's just four guys standing in front of consoles, but it is amazing. I mean, and all the visuals that they have behind them, and it's all in 3D, and it's so funny. Like, I like stuff that makes me laugh. You know, like old B-52s. I saw them in concert recently too, and I like their really old stuff, not their newer stuff. But just, it just cracks me up. You know what I mean? It's so inventive and so funny, And then I've got one coming up that I'm so super excited to go see, which is PJ Harvey. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that's great. When you go to the races and you're on your way, is there ever a song that gets you pumped up to go out there and compete?
Oh, you know, it's probably very disappointing that there isn't, right?
No, not really.
It's not coming to mind right now. But, like, I would have to say that, you know, you're reminded of the music that you heard in your formative years, right? I mean, whatever those, like, my mom and dad, there was always Creedence Clearwater on you know, records being played, and but I guess it'd have to be like bad 80s heavy metal, you know what I mean? Like Judas Priest, you know, Screaming for Vengeance. Like, that's a good one to get me pumped up before I go run.
Oh, yeah. That is so cool. This is fascinating information. And the B-52s reference, I just can't get enough of that band. They are just too cool. So, yeah,
I mean,
that's great.
Planet Claire and, Private Idaho, yeah. Those are like some of the best songs ever.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh man, well, we got it. Let's turn it back over. We could go all night, man. We keep talking about that, and we're gonna have fun on the Autobahn. Did Kraftwerk
right?
pull that old chestnut out? Now we're going way back.
Yeah, they did actually. It was amazing. So they played it at Walt Disney Hall. There were like 8 concerts over the course of, you know, 2 concerts a night over, I think, 4 different nights. And they were all based on a whole record. So I did go to the Autobahn one. They played the entire Autobahn record, and then they'd play some other hits, you know, mixed in after that. And it was so great. And it was basically the visuals were coming from a Volkswagen on the Autobahn. It was hilarious.
That is incredible.
Very cool. Well, you know what? You're incredible, Mindy, and thank you so much for joining us. Had a blast talking to you, and look forward to seeing you down the road somewhere. Maybe in the middle of Kentucky. I need some bourbon again. We need to head down there. So, Mindy Fry,
right,
Top
absolutely,
Fuel, and bourbon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Thank you so much. Mindy. Ladies and gentlemen, Mindy Fry, your 2017 March Meet Top Fuel winner, the Nitro Kitty herself, checking in. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon. Let's take a break, and we're not going to break at all. We're going to go right to John. So, John, this is your turn for the JB's Take, and this week's Racer of the Week, sir. Take it away.
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is John Ishibashi from Kalaheo, Kauai, Hawaii. John was recommended to me by our friend Michael Baba Balbarino, whose 808 Fuel page has the most extensive and thorough coverage of drag racing and all motorsports in the state of Hawaii. Thanks, Michael. John's 68 Camaro Top Gun race car is a marvelous hot rod with one of the most beautiful paint jobs I've ever seen on a race car. John told me it's a relatively new paint scheme, as he told me a couple of years ago he crashed this car. And after he repaired and rebuilt the car, he had a local boy named Ryan Kapwai lay down the base graphic colors. John's friend Richie Raposo colored, sanded, and laid on the glassy clear finish, which John said is similar to the previous paint scheme. He then flew in Alan Pereira of Sandy, Oregon, to stripe and letter the car. Now, to my eye, it's one of those cars you just keep looking at. The design, structure, and color combination is perfect. It's one of my all-time favorite race cars. John has had the Camaro for upwards of 37 years. It was his car in high school. Over the years, he has upgraded and added to the car. For a while, he put it aside and raced other cars, but he told me it's like going back to your first love, and he feels right driving it. His brother Peter motivated him to fix the Ninja after the crash and take it back out as his number one race car. He attributes this decision to his brother's advice, who was his crew chief and number one supporter ever since John started racing until his untimely passing a little over a year ago. Peter didn't get to see the rebuilt Ninja, but he was definitely there in spirit when John returned to the track for only a second time after the crash and won at Mike Balbarino's first annual nostalgia race on Kauai. I'd say he definitely made the right call. The 565 cubic inch engine has powered John to numerous wins and a best ET of 835 at a top speed of 167 miles an hour. His hard-working crew includes Mike Foster and Jose Diogo. John has figured out how to get good freight deals on getting new parts and equipment shipped over from the mainland. That's one of the factors that makes drag racing such a special pursuit in Hawaii. The parts cost the same as they do in the lower 48, but it's the freight charges that run the price way up. And John and other Hawaiian racers have had to put more money together in order to keep their cars running the same as everybody else's. There are ways to avoid or cut down on costs, and John has that figured out. John thanks his wife, Dell, and his girls, Kristen and Brittany, for their unending support of his racing efforts. He said he couldn't do this if it wasn't for his strong family bonds. They've been standing behind him all the way. The family comes out to the track when he races and cheers him on. As with drag racing all over the world, this is a family activity, and it's handed down through the generations. He still tows the car on an open trailer. It looks great, and it's old school. He told me almost everybody uses enclosed trailers these days. But there's something special about a race car showing up on an open trailer. It brings back memories of the days of old, and I couldn't agree more. John, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thanks, JB. John's fabulous, JB's take, as always, in the Racer of the Week. Let's wrap it up, folks. We do have some sad lost friends to mention tonight. On the 15th of the month, we lost Don Baxter, patriarch of the Jayhawk Dragster team and Don's Speed Shop out there in Kansas. Farewell, Mr. Baxter. Thanks for all the tough cars and for all the friends and fans you've made over the years. On the 17th, Don Ness passed away. We mentioned Don was in hospice last week on the show. He did pass away this week. One of the greatest pro stock chassis builders of all time. Some of the most dominant cars of the 80s put together by his hands, and just one heck of a nice guy as well. And then on the East Coast, very, very close to home, one of our good friends that we see year in and year out, George Weiler. We found out from Darwin Dahl that George is in hospice now. The honker and, you know, all the great pro stock cars that George has run over the years. And just a wonderful, wonderful, lovely man. And our very best to George as he goes through this trying time. Well, let's wrap up once again, folks. Thanks so much to Mendy Fry. Always a blast having Mendy on the show. John Balkman, of course, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer. Have a great week, folks. We will see you next Monday night. Adios.